Hey, Alessandro.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, good, good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Awesome. How are you? How's the weather in Sweden right now?
Like you could imagine. I mean, it's gray and it's raining. It's about 7 degrees, so it's pretty standard. Standard spring weather here. How's it going for you guys?
Yeah, so when I look outside the window, it's roughly, it's 20 degrees. It's sunny. So it seems like spring has finally arrived here.
Nice, nice.
It's mid-April. Is it getting like any warm? So basically, where are you from? Just start from the start. Where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm from Gothenburg. So it's like southwest of Sweden. But I mean, it snowed like a week ago. So it's quite random. One day you can have sun and it's be like 12 degrees and pretty good weather. And the next day it can be snowy and like minus 1 or 2 degrees. So it's pretty random right now. It's spring. So, but we'll see.
All right, man. So let's start at the beginning. So we talked a couple of weeks ago, and it seems like you were kind of interested in, let's call it, not the normal way of training, right? Describe a little bit of your own journey. Like, are you coming from like a fitness background, a training background, a sports background? When did you start coaching? Where did you start coaching and why do you have that awesome name?
Yeah, okay, let's start from the beginning, right? So my parents are from Italy, but my mom is half Swedish. Mm-hmm. So I was born and raised here in Sweden, but I speak Italian, so yeah, that's where I got the name, right? But it all started with I played football until I was 19 years old, and that's also where I kind of realized that I won't turn pro. And to be honest, I was quite average, but I kept playing football because, you know, for the community and for the fun of it. And
I'm sorry, is not every Italian, every male Italian thinking that he will make the national team at some point?
Yeah,
at least the national team.
At least, right? No, but so, yeah, I kept going, right? And later on, I turned 23 and I wanted to give back. Like, I have a lot to thank my football club for and how it formed me and developed some good a good mindset from football, and I wanted to give back, so I started coaching football, and I also studied at the university. I took a bachelor in sports science, and I mainly coach kids from 10 years old and up, and it was actually from coaching these kids that I grew the most as a coach. Because, I mean, with kids, you can't really be harsh on them. I mean, you can be harsh and fair, but you can't really,
Yeah, you can.
Be a good teacher, right?
Yeah, you can make them do stuff like you can do with adults. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm 5 years old. It's like, whatever, I'll do whatever I want. So you can, I mean, obviously you can teach them something, but it's not like an adult's like, okay, you got to pick that thing up. You're just going to do it. This is not happening with kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to motivate them, at least explain why we do stuff and really help them understand. So that's that was quite a good years with, for me at least, how I developed, and it was a great time. And also during that time, I trained CrossFit, and I kept training all the time.
So back in the days, you started training CrossFit, like you started as a member in a gym, or did you start as a coach right away?
So I always liked coaching and giving back, but I started as just working out and participating in a few CrossFit classes, and was hoping sooner or later they would see that I'm trying and giving my all the time. And I also took the level one just out of nowhere and told them that, hey guys, I got the CrossFit level one, and if you need any help at a time, just let me know and I will gladly help out. I don't need a pay. I just want to help out and learn. And and from that on, they sooner or later it opened up a spot. Like I could, in the beginning, I could have the the intro classes, like new members coming in, I could help them out and just be around to be an assistant, like doing the on-ramp classes and stuff. And yeah, I developed from there, right? So,
awesome. So is that still the same gym that you're coaching at right now?
Yes.
Tell me the name again. It's CrossFit.
Weinhallen CrossFit.
Weinhallen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet. So tell me a little bit more about the gym. So what's your role in there right now? So obviously you're coaching classes, right? What's a typical class look like for you? How do you approach it differently? Because you said you did the level one at some point. How long was that ago, roughly? A couple of years?
Level one was 4 years ago, I think. Yeah. But say I coach group classes two times a week. And I have one just typical CrossFit class, like the head coach has a program. And he writes up all the program, right? Mm-hmm. And I have one class that I program myself just to, explore and keep doing new stuff, right? And do my own thing on that class. So I do a little bit of both. And at the beginning, it was very like, I was watching the CrossFit games. This is in the beginning of my CrossFit coach journey. I was looking at the CrossFit games and saw all the awesome stuff that they did and all the snatches, all the whatever. I mean, all the crazy stuff that they do there. And I tried to mimic that and teach it in another in that way. And I mean, it worked. It works until it doesn't. But I developed quite a few, not injuries, but pain. Pain in shoulders, pain in my lower back from deadlifting. So it was all kinds of, not pain, but...
Well, it's discomfort. It's like nagging. It's not an injury. It's not an injury, but you feel that something's off. Something's wrong, right? So you feel like, okay, maybe my back... No, it's not maybe. My back should feel different. Right, there's a difference in between. I guess that's how I would describe it. There's a difference in, okay, my lumbar erectors are pumped, or my lower back is worn out from a good deadlift session, versus ooh, I shouldn't have done this. Like I'm not gonna deadlift the next 10 days. That there's a huge difference, I think.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
So the class that you're doing, like with your own programming, is that a scheduled group class, or is that more of a side thing for you? Is that your own workshop within the framework of the gym?
No, that's a scheduled class. It's in the schedule, right?
So is there any difference in between the programming that you coach in a regular class and the programming you do with your own schedule or with your own programming, and if yes, what's the difference?
So the gym program is scheduled roughly like you have a strength portion. Let's say you do deadlifts, 5 sets of I don't know how many reps, 8 or such, and then you have a typical Metcon and conditioning part of it. That's and between those two and around it, you can program whatever you like. But these are the two main portions that you need to do, and you need to warm them up properly and have a cool down after it. That's the main part with the gym program. My own thing, I tend to have a focus or a theme of the class. Like, for instance, we can have a focus on, we should, it would be maybe breathing, right? And then we would try to breathe through all these times, through these movements, like learn how to breathe through the air squats at first. Then you go approach the sandbag squat. How does it differ? How can you approach it when you go through heavier weights? How should you approach it when you do more like a cyclical workout? And that would be one thing. And also another would be, okay, today we're going to hit the lower body. And we're going to try to focus on hitting these muscles as much as possible. So if you tend to squat with your lower back, we'll try to go to the glutes more instead. Just focus on the glutes, and we would have a warm-up portion for that. I would have them do like back drags and just warming up the muscles prior to the to the more complex exercises,
yeah.
Right?
To the more compound movements, the complex movements, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And how does your own training look like? Is it more like the typical CrossFit class, or is it more towards your own programming? How does that look like, your own training regimen?
So I've tried to follow a program, and I tried to really, stick to one and do what, program what, buy, you know, when you buy a program or stuff like this. I've been trying to do that, but I can't really stick to it. I need to go by intention and by intuition even more. I need to do what my body feels like to do. So mainly I show up at the gym and I feel like, okay, today I want to do hit an upper body session. And I try to just do stuff that I like. I work mainly with sandbags and ropes and sleds and try to build a program after that. I don't, exclude any object, but more that I like to include the more of stuff that I like, let's say.
Got it. Okay. But so you don't have like a, 2-4-6 week cycle programmed in advance, like a rough outline, a rough guideline. Okay, this is my focus for the next 6 weeks. Not specifically in terms of exercises, but more like, okay, 6 weeks of more hinging or squatting or pushing or pulling, a lower body, upper body, you name it. It's just you go every session, you go by feel.
Like, say I want to hit an upper body session once a week at least, and a lower body session once a week at least. And after that, when I've done those two, I just go for fun. I just try to keep me, lift heavy. That's mainly what I like to do. And bench press is also a new thing that I have recently found out that I love to do. And just go by feel. If I want to run a day, I go and run. I mean, just to keep me going all the time, because I had times where I train a lot. I mean, I go hard and follow a program and really try to schedule everything for 4 weeks. And after that, I just decline. I don't want to go to the gym anymore. I don't feel motivated enough. So I have changed that approach to more go by, let's say, feel. But I want to at least have an upper body sesh and then one lower body sesh. And after that, I just go by feel, and have fun mainly. That's the main thing.
Did you look into the programming I sent you from our gym?
I haven't yet. I've been waiting for, to hit it up with the sandbags.
Yeah, they're on the way, by the way. So just so you know.
I received a notification from... the mailing company.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Why are you training with sandbags? For some people listening who don't know why you are using sandbags, what's your main reason? I mean, you mentioned sleds and ropes and sandbags, and it sounds like you're pretty much using every equipment, right? So like bench pressing with the barbell, squatting, maybe carrying with the sandbags. Why are you using the sandbags?
I mean, it's, for me, it's much simpler. It's not a technique or skill part that you need to learn. And you can still develop it. I can still move and do back squats with a barbell. It's not that thing. It's just that some days when you go to the gym and you feel like hitting a squat session and you try it out with a barbell back squat and today won't work. So mainly then I refer back to the sandbag because it's much more simpler and it's easier to hit the muscles that I want to engage when I'm doing a squat, let's say. So it's mainly for that part, for the skill part, it's much simpler to do. I would say that would be the main thing. Yeah. And then also I feel more badass when squatting a sandbag instead of a back squat. So that might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, it just feels good, like wrapping a heavy sandbag and having like sit on your chest and you're going up and down and you can't breathe because it's pushing on your lungs and on your chest. It's a very rudimental feeling, right? Mm-hmm. It's not as shiny, it's not as perfect as a straight bar. It's just, it's dirty. You pick it up, you squat it, you throw it down. There's a little bit of dust coming out. It just feels different. I mean, I like both, to be honest. But a sandbag is, I mean, besides the good side effects of training more, the inner torque chain, etc., it just feels really good to have something in between your hands. I think that's a very overlooked portion of training, like using your hands, like having something in between your hands. Like you have to hold on to that implement rather than just a bar sitting on your shoulders. I mean, you're kind of holding on to it. But if you let go of a heavy sandbag, like just for 3 centimeters, like it's going to slip, it's going to drop, right? Or like if you do like a front rack squat with a heavy sandbag, like there's no leaning forward as with the barbell. Like once you lean forward with that sandbag, it's just over. It drops and you're out. So I really like that rough and natural and very rudimental feeling of it.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I mean, it's not, it's more like an underground feeling when you work with those types of stuff. I mean, it's, like you say, it's odd. It's not perfectly balanced and it's going to move. It's going to move around. So you better, keep it tight and try to manage the weight properly. So, yeah, for sure.
I really like the, and again, I'm using both. Like I'm training with barbells. I just came from the gym. We did an awesome Wednesdays in this cycle is our deadlift and bench press day, besides some other stuff. And obviously we did it with the barbell. So I love good barbell training, but just, I think the fact that you have to apply tension to an implement, like to the sandbag, like you have to squeeze it, you have to hold it, you can't let go because otherwise nothing's going to work. It's just a very natural way of creating tension without somebody telling you how to create tension, right? Because once you pick the barbell, it's just more technically advanced. Once you wreck the barbell, you unwreck the barbell, like you have to actively create tension. Otherwise, the barbell is just going to go on a boat ride with you. You know what I mean? And it's not, it's a great exercise, but it can easily lead to a passive approach. It's just sitting there and you're just going down and you're looking and it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you can look in people's eyes and see they're scared from using a barbell. Right. And there's a point to it because as a beginner, you just don't have the self-confidence of, okay, I have to create tension towards that implement. So you just pick it up and just kind of go down and go up and that's it. And with the sandbag, it's like, okay, I have to apply tension because I have to hug it. I have to grab it. I have to squeeze it. So that's it's easier. Right. And it's, I think a more natural approach than using a barbell at first. I think it all comes down to 3 big questions: is how strong do you want to be, how strong do you need to be, and how much time do you have? Like I love teaching people a good barbell squat, don't get me wrong. But if you give me like 2 hours a week of training, which most people on average do in our gym, like 2 to 3 hours, they show up 2-3 times a week, it just takes very, very long for them to develop a good back squat, right? And so a very rational approach, maybe this is not the best implement if you give me 2 hours a week. If you give me 6 hours a week, or if you do like workshops and if you like put a lot of time into it, I'm all for the idea of using a barbell in your training, right? And that's very, I think that's a huge difference from gym to gym, because in my gym, there's like 99.9999% of people is just regular people. It's like soccer moms, average Joes, like fit people, but they're training 2-3 times a week and maybe doing like some recreational sports on the side, but that's about it. I don't have any power lifter in my gym. I don't have any Olympic weightlifter in my gym that trains for a specific sport. So that's how I see it. I mean, if you run a powerlifting gym, that's a whole different ballgame then. But in my gym, there's normal people and I want to get them as strong as possible in as little time as possible. So there we go.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because, I mean, what's your intention of the exercise? What's your intention of training for today's training? It's, is it easy to develop a good barbell back squat? Then sure, we can do it. But if you just want to move and just want to get started and have a stimulus, like you want to feel like you have your muscles aching, your muscles, I would say, tired and feeling pumped, then let's go for the sandbag. It's going to it's a lot faster approach to get to that part.
Yeah, it's more rewarding because if you look in people's eyes after squatting with a barbell and squatting with a sandbag, like you can tell the difference. Like squatting with a barbell, okay, it was hard, and maybe I've learned something and it felt better than the last time. But if you just give them whatever, like 5 sets of 10 with a decent weight on a sandbag, they're going to feel everything. Like they're going to feel the inside hamstring, they're going to feel the glutes, they're going to feel the obliques because they're squeezing all the time. Like that's like... We got 60 minutes, my friend. This is not an infinite amount of time. We have 60 minutes. Like, let's make it work. So I was just curious about your approach and why you're... Are you using sandbags in the regular classes as well or just in your sideshow?
So, yeah, I try to implement it in the warm-ups, like doing... Let's say we have a barbell back squat to do later. I have them do carries and some sandbag squat just to warm up with a lower weight, just to get the proper muscles firing.
Awesome.
And then after that, we can go on to the back squat because now they know what to feel when they go and do the back squat. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I had class yesterday and we did the sandbag squats. Like quite many reps, like 10, heaviest for 10 reps. Mm-hmm. And I had a girl there who said that it's the first time that she feels her glutes working in a squat.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yes, because she can't feel it when she's doing, I would say, any other lift, like deadlifts or back squats or whatever. So that was the first time for her, and she was... excited. I mean, it works. So,
I mean, isn't this what's all about? Like people starting to get their, I mean, I'm not saying their bodies back, but they're feeling muscles engaging that they've never used before. Maybe they dealing with some lower back, knee, hip issues, whatever. But that feeling of, that feels really good. Like when your glutes are working, like it's a really good feeling. Mm. And I mean, it looks better if your glutes are working, by the way. So you look better in shorts or bikinis or whatever. And that's the whole point. I mean, isn't that the point about squatting anyways? Isn't this why we should be squatting? I mean, to activate the glutes mainly, right? It's the same. It's a funny story. What do you think? What's the most common exercise for developing the chest? What is like a body weight exercise? What would you say?
Like commonly among other people,
I would say. Like, what are most people doing to develop their chest?
Bench press, let's say.
Bench press, push-ups, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you have some experience as a coach. Like, how many? What would you say roughly? How many percent of people doing either bench press or push-ups are actually feeling and using their pecs? Like, give me a rough estimate from your anecdotal experience.
I mean, 5-10% maybe. I mean, it's not much. It's not many. I mean, most of them feel their delts or their triceps.
Right. It's weird. Right. So it's the most common exercises for chest development, chest and triceps development. But nobody's feeling it. Isn't that weird? So maybe it's not about the exercise you're doing. And it's, I mean, of course, like you can tell somebody, all right, so we're doing a push-up and the intent is to feel your pecs. It's like, awesome, but I'm not feeling it. So what's the solution? What would you do? Or what are you doing in classes when you're doing, like there's a push-up workout, right? There's a nice push-up workout. Maybe it's some running, wall balls, box jumps, and some push-ups in it. People, like you can see if people are using their pecs. Like you see shoulders all over the place. You see shoulder blades pinching. You see elbows flaring out. So how can we, what's your approach of making people feel their pecs?
I mean, it's, try to simplify it as much as possible. I mean, maybe push-ups are too hard at the moment because it's quite fair to say. It's not, you don't get much, the most tension you can as possible in the pecs by doing push-ups. So I would try to, if I had a time with them, give them an exercise where they feel comfortable with getting the pecs engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be pec stick carries? Mm-hmm. Would it be med ball presses, sandbag floor presses, whatever. One exercise where they feel the pecs the most and try to really get a burn or let's say a chest pump.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe with that, okay, let's go then and approach the push-ups. Now that you know how to feel, mm-hmm. then you know what to look for. Because if you never had a chest pump before, you don't know how it feels. I mean, you don't know what to expect.
I would say so. So you said a very interesting sentence, if you would have enough time. What does that mean? Don't you have enough time in a class?
Okay, so yeah, for sure. Let's say it was in a Metcon.
Mm-hmm.
Or the conditioning part. Let's say it's Cindy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Five
pull-ups, ten
push-ups.
15 squats, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And they don't feel the pecs. I will have them just every other round try to do like a pec stick presses instead of the push-ups. Mm-hmm. And then let's see how it feels as mm-hmm. you go on and proceed. Mm-hmm. I will switch and turn that, change that one.
Mm-hmm.
Change that variable.
Got it.
And constantly check with them. Because I have in our box, we have 16 persons per class
mm-hmm.
and one coach at the time. So mm-hmm. you need to,
make the best out of it.
Yeah. And I try to give as much value as possible.
Yeah.
Because I really try to, teach and coach and give my all. And to the persons who want it the most, they will ask questions and I will spend more time with them for sure, but I will try to be with everyone. But it's tough yeah. with the 16 persons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
For 1 hour.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know. How many do you have per class at your gym?
We have a maximum of 12 people per class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually on average, it's somewhere between 8 and 10. But I don't really think that's like totally necessary. I think you can do an awesome job with 15 people. I mean, at some point it gets hard because with 20, 25 people it's just too much. Like you always have like 10% of people not listening or just chatting with somebody else. So it gets hard at some point. But I think 15 is a pretty good group size for still making it work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I feel like when I have the classes, I mean, I'm very passionate about it and try to give as much value as possible. But when it kind of goes over their head sometimes because I'm speaking to a group, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it's many of them, I can see that it lands on a few of them. But, you know, I really try to give my all to this person, that person, when it's maybe my approach that I needs to change a little bit
mm-hmm.
and try to scale down with what I say and... what I want to teach for the moment, but I mean, the best classes that I had was when we were roughly 10, 12 people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then I can feel
a better connection with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
and that might be because how I want to coach mainly. I prefer to coach one-on-ones. Maybe I think mm-hmm. that's a lot of fun. I prefer small groups. And I have done group classes of 16 people, mm-hmm. 20 persons as well. But I mean, this might be how I coach.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. What's your feeling? What would help you the most as a coach right now? Like, is there something you're missing? Is there something? I'm asking a question to actually get into your head and get a lot of opinions from, like, on a very practical basis. What would you need to feel excited about going to the gym tomorrow and coaching a new class? Like, is there any practical stuff? Is it more like how to organize a class, how to structure a class, how to set certain emphasis in there, whether it's a muscle or breathing? Is it like, you name it? What if, like, you got three wishes, right? You got three wishes. We reduce it to one. What would be the one thing that you would like to learn or educate yourself on?
It's a tough question.
Let's phrase it a little bit different. Like, what do you think is missing in the world of fitness, whether it's CrossFit or anything else, or how could we make it? How could we make it more, not more fun, but more? How can we put more progress into those classes? Because that's what it's all about. People making quicker progress.
Yeah. So I've been to a few CrossFit boxes, right? And there are a few gyms that work with more quantity, let's say. They want to get people in, they do their workout, then mm-hmm. they get home, right? But for coaches that are passionate about their craft and want to do well, I mean, they normally and usually invest a lot in a few people in all the group settings. And that's, I don't know, maybe, no, I don't know.
So let me pitch an idea from me. I mean, we talked briefly on the phone before about my fine stress use principle. Let me pitch that idea to you, and I'm curious about your feedback. Let's do this live and right away. So what we want to see is, as we discussed on the push-up example, we want to see people being more competent of engaging certain muscles, right? Because that's pretty much the bottom line of progress and avoiding injuries and like
right.
just being able to train all the time without being injured. So my approach is, you set a certain goal for the class. Let's call it the booty, right? The glute max for squatting, for example. So you take the first, let's say 10 minutes, right? You could do a good warm up with them, and you use like 5 minutes of that warm up, specific exercises to get their glutes firing, right? Could be a song, could be a certain way of doing hip thrusters, but very precise and very specific. So you can teach it to a class and group of 15, right? So you have a single muscle in the find phase being activated. Then you go to stress, which means, all right, let's take the movement pattern of a squat. Or if it's a back squat, I'll take the movement pattern of the downward portion, so the internal torque portion, and you do like, I don't know, a couple of sets of stiff leg deadlifts, sandbag squats, just to get that fired up muscle into that movement pattern, right? And then you move on to the stress part, which is the actual workout, whatever it is. I don't care whether it's 5x5 back squats, whether it's you name it. Like the exercise is for using the muscle, using the movement pattern, and actually putting some weight on, right? And I think that helps, at least for us and in our workshops and with the people in our gym, that helps people understanding, okay, like the first 10 minutes have to be mentally like fully on, because it's a single focus, it's one muscle, and it got to be very focused, right? But I know after those 10 minutes, like, it kind of eases out, and I'll do my movement pattern stuff, and I still need to be focused and connecting muscles, but it's less taxing mentally for people. And like from minute 15, 20 on, I'm not saying you can stop thinking, but at some point in a class, like, there's got to be a differentiation between thinking a lot, thinking less, and thinking nothing. And there's a point of where you just got to do the work, whether it's a sempe carry or 5x5 squats. Like once you're under heavy weight, there shouldn't be much thinking, right? Because if you're thinking about how should I do the back squat, once there's 200 kilos on your back, you're probably going to mess it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot about how to structure class, and it's bringing, even in CrossFit classes, like it's bringing like 5 to 7, 10 minutes in there. There's got to be a warm-up anyways, and you just restructure the warm-up, bring some movement pattern work in there. And from minute 15 on, it's like, there's no difference in to another CrossFit gym. Like, it's okay, you do the strength portion, you do your WOD, you do workout, you do conditioning, it's all good. So, but I think we can change a lot of stuff just with 10 minutes of very deliberate work in the beginning.
Right? So you would say it's like a muscle focus day or a theme on the program?
Yeah, I mean, how we do it, we have like 4 week cycles for people, but it's not like the squatting cycle and the hinging cycle and the pressing cycle. It's 4 weeks. We're focusing on a specific portion of the squat, for example, right? I mean, we have a build up of like 3, 4, 5 years for our people, so they're understanding where which muscle, which torque chain you should use, what a movement pattern is, what an exercise is. So for example, the first 4 weeks was we just focus on the external torque portion of the squat, right? So 90 degrees up. So we structure the find process. We find the outset quad, for example, or we find the glute med, and then we implement it in a movement pattern, and then we're gonna sumo deadlift, for example, or do Anderson squats. Just making people learn this, okay, this is the muscle, this is how I should implement it into the whole body, and this is how this should feel when I do an actual exercise. And just my feeling of what I see in most gyms, maybe they do the first part without actually knowing how to engage those muscles, and then they do the last part, which is just doing exercises, and there's no bridge in between, which will help people over time realizing and understanding what that whole thing is actually about, right? So you have the newbie, you have the training, and you have the meathead approach. Like the newbie is, okay, I'm gonna find a muscle. You have the movement pattern. So how to use a muscle in a certain movement pattern, and then you have the meathead part, which is, all right, now we're gonna deadlift. Mm-hmm. Right, but me as a coach, I can, when we're doing a deadlift, and for example, we focused on inside hamstring or glutes, I can refer back 20 minutes in the class, be like, okay, now we're going to deadlift. Remember the feeling you had in the warm up when your glutes were cramping. It's like, okay, at that stage of the lift, I want you to feel this. End of the story. That's the whole coaching for the deadlift of the day, and we'll do pick a rep scheme, 5x10, 5x5, whatever, and put more weight on, and as long as you can do that, like still feel your glutes, so you're hinging on the way up, awesome, put more weight on, done deal. Like it's not complicated. And what I've seen is this gives people a lot of relief, right? Because typically when you coach a deadlift, there's like 15 cues you throw at them. It's like whatever. Pinch your shoulder blades together and straight back and all that stuff, and be like, okay, yeah, I gotta do 10 things at a time. It's like, okay, so the only thing I should do is feel my glutes on that portion of the lift. I can do that. So you're flipping the script now, because now people or your members have, like, they're being active because now they know if their deadlift is appropriate or not. They don't have to ask you. It's like, Alessandro, can you come over here quick and look at my deadlift if I do this correctly? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I can look at you, but I don't know what you're feeling. But you got to remember that feeling from your glutes, from your inside hamstring. So over time, so I'm talking weeks, months, and years, people are getting very smart about when to use which muscle, and they get, like, it's fun for them because they don't hear the same stuff over and over again. You just put some more weight on. It's like, okay, it feels awesome. I don't feel my lower back. And at some point, maybe people will feel a lower back in a class. Oh, hell yeah. Like, it's not a picture perfect world. And then you can go to them. It's like, okay, what have you not done? So you're feeling your lower back. And people are like, okay, maybe I didn't have my obliques on, for example. Uh-huh. Right, it's okay. Remember an exercise we did to feel the obliques. It's like, all right, okay, this is how it should feel. So people have, like, they can actively manipulate positively their own training, which is great. Which should be, like, they shouldn't need me. They shouldn't need you at a certain point.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're making them independent, right?
But that's the whole point. Because, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you're in that 20-minute workout, in a 20-minute conditioning workout, and you're doing kettlebell swings, for example, and people are coming to you like, oh, I feel my lower back, Alessandro. It's like, you can't do much about it, let's be honest, right? It's a 20-minute AMRAP. Like, people are all over the place. They're running. They're doing kettlebell swings. But if you can remind them, be like, okay, over time, what could be the reason you're feeling your lower back? Not in a philosophical way. In a muscle activation way. Mm. Right? And be like, oh shoot, I forgot to do this. It's like, oh, it's all right, that's all right. We're all humans. It's totally fine. Okay, so squeeze the kettlebell, start with your pecs. Your pec will help you feel your obliques. So they squeeze the kettlebell again, the refocusing, and like 30 seconds later, it's like, oh, my lower back's fine. I'm good. Right? I shortened the process, right? But you get the point. So that's the whole idea, how we teach like the fine stress use principle and how we break down movements, how we not simplify them, but make it simpler in the beginning, but not any simpler. And then just build up on that. And over time, like, people are very smart. If you throw the right portion of knowledge to them and not everything at once, whether it's positioning, whether it's muscles, doesn't matter. But if you tell them, okay, this is a deadlift, you got to find those six muscles. It's like, man, I can't do that. Like, it's okay, one thing at a time, one class at a time, and the next time we're going to do the second one, and then we're going to do the third one. So over time, people will start getting it, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because this approach you're telling about, it's like I said earlier, and also like you mentioned, it makes you independent, right? Because mm-hmm. you should be able to, I mean, it's your body. You should be able to feel your biceps, your glutes, whatever, when you're training. And that also gives them a way to know when they're doing the exercise right and exercise wrong. Because what I see now in mainly is, okay, let's say they're going to do a workout later. So mainly what they're doing, you're going to pull-ups, you're going to do pull-ups later. So the warm-up portion would be rows or on the rowing machine or something like that. Okay, sure, you're doing the movement pattern, but you aren't using the proper muscles mm-hmm. in the movement pattern. So that might send them like a different way. So yeah, I really appreciate this approach, because I do kind of the same, mm-hmm. but I focus on more than one muscle, and that might, I'd say, confuse some of them.
Yeah. Again, I mean, you see those people maybe three times a week for an hour. They're coming from work or they're going to work. Let's be honest; they're not in the most learning mood when they come to the gym, which is okay, right? Because it's not learned that you got to learn something in a gym. Like, it's just doing stuff and tell me what I need to do and tell me what I need to do better. But I mean, let's start the process and let's do one muscle at a time and see how it works. And if people are making progress, they'll trust you. Progress is using more weight, getting less lower back pain when deadlifting, feeling more awesome afterwards. There's a lot of things that people define as progress, which is awesome. So once you implement that, like, people will start listening more and more. Mm. It's interesting. And I get it. Like, you got to prove that what you're saying is true. So we did a deadlift workshop, obviously using the same approach. Very straightforward. Warm up, deadlift. All right? Little bit of an explanation, good warm up, little bit of an explanation. So I wanted the people to do their deadlift, right? And figure out like a 3 rep max. Nothing crazy, like 3 heavy lifts, and just write down that number. And then we ran through like 3 cycles of, okay, now we're going to focus on this muscle, and this movement pattern, and we're going to implement it here. Like 3 times, glutes, inside hamstring, and obliques, right? Took like 60 minutes and like chains of rope pulls and to get the hinging motion in, the Sempec carries, Sempec squats. And at the end, we basically retested their deadlifts, right? And all I did was I just reminded people of their weakness in the deadlift, muscle-wise, right? So Susie had a hard time engaging her obliques. So all I did was, okay, you want to find the obliques, squeeze the barbell in. So you want to create tension in your pecs. That will help you feel your obliques. And like 9 out of 10 people PR the deadlift.
Sick. Yeah.
So this is not how great I am or bragging about how good I do the deadlift workshop. This is what people need to see. Oh, so there's a different approach than just doing more deadlifts to improve your deadlift. There's a roadmap, and it's a structure. It's not systemizing it. It's structuring it. Right. And as much as I love chaos and talking 3 hours about muscles and how to activate them, like, we as coaches and our members, like, they need a certain structured approach, so they kind of get, okay, this is what the process looks like. And it's a model, obviously. It's not picture perfect. But like in the beginning, when you start learning something, you need something you can hold on to, right? Mm. Some sort of structure. So it's thinking about you learning a new language, a new instrument, a new sport. Like, you gotta know where you are in that space. And a good coach just creates that space, structures it, and so you feel safe. in that environment.
No, so how has this been received? I mean, is this a new change that you have done in your gym with the muscle focus thing, with the fine stress use principle, or what you want to call it, this structure?
Yeah, I mean, this is a process that took probably 5 years. So we started like pretty much the same as every gym who started using sandbags. We just did sandbag squats and sandbag carries and rope pulls and sled drags and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But we just threw it in there, like as a part of the programming. And over time, I realized, okay, some people, while still doing their sandbag carries and while being coached, I think properly, for like 2 years, their lower back is still flaring up, which pisses me off like tremendously. Same for me, by the way. So long sandbag carries, I hate long sandbag carries. I'm doing them, no worries. But I saw very, very little progress on it. Right, just, and for me, it's the same as doing do more deadlifts than telling anybody like, okay, then do more sandbag carries. So you start learning how to engage your obliques. I think that's a little bit far down the stretch. So people, so that's when we kind of made the switch of, okay, let's pick one muscle from the sandbag carry. Let's warm it up, like make it cramp in a warm up. There's awesome ways to warm up muscles besides all stuff on YouTube, and let's implement it in a movement pattern, and then let's implement it in an actual exercise, in actual training, in a training circle, and it works. And that's the only thing I care about is, okay, so less people's lower backs flare up when they're doing long sandbag carries, including mine, which is great.
Yeah, I mean that's what you want. Also, I mean, you coaches are, or the people at the gym, at least what I can see and what I've seen on Instagram and when I hear you speak, I mean, you're trying to change something. You're trying to improve the people. I mean, help them out to be a better version of themselves, right?
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to do. And I mean, that's also what I've seen are mainly missing. I mean, people who care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to help them achieve, I don't know, wake up in the morning without having the lower back flared up,
yeah,
because they did a deadlift session the night before. And also, yeah, I've seen this at my gym times and times again also. And so, yeah, man, I will try this approach. Yeah. I mean, with going after one muscle, I will tell you how it goes. It sounds really interesting because I will do it with two or three muscles at, mm-hmm, a time. Like a lower body focus, let's focus on the
hamstrings and glutes. Trust me, Alessandro, I did the same. The same mistakes. It's all good because we're passionate about what we're doing. Like, we want to make it faster. Like, what if we could do like five muscles in a session? That would make it faster, right? So at least that's what my running through, man. And if I repeat it like more often, if I talk about connecting those muscles and this is what we're gonna do,
yeah,
like it sounds awesome and it's all with good intentions. But I just realized, okay, we gotta make it as simple as possible, but not any simpler. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're not gonna stay there. I was like, okay, so we took like 60 minutes to activate your pecs. See you next time. I mean, that's bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay, yeah, let's spend 5-10 minutes of making the pecs cramp, then let's implement it in a whatever sandbag floor press, so everybody's screaming and so it feels like fucking training, and then like you have a good bench session with an awesome workout at the end. It's like everybody's happy. Like, people are crushed, their pecs are firing up, like their shoulders get better. Like, I think that's what it should look like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is not like you gotta switch up your whole gym or your whole coaching structure or your class. It's like there's some small changes that needs to be done in the beginning, and let's see how it works. And then you can always work from there, and you don't have to like implement a totally new programming or kick the barbells out of the programming or do anything crazy. It's like, no, like if you want to do your CrossFit thing, like, I'm good. I just want to add like 5-10 minutes to your session, so people can improve their whatever, snatch, clean and jerk, whatever is fancy in CrossFit, their kettlebell swing, their Cindy time, whatever, who cares? But that's awesome, right? That's what people, that's the best retention model out there. When people make progress, when they not get hurt, when they increase their whatever, their Isabel time, their grace time, like that's fucking awesome. And that can differentiate you as a CrossFit gym from another CrossFit gym down the road. You're doing the same workouts, awesome, but I'm producing more results than you are. Your people are faster, less injuries, less memberships on hold because people are injured, less dealing with, okay, we gotta work around that movement because your shoulder hurts. Like, I don't give a, that's not the point of being a gym. The point of being a gym is finding the best way how to make your people stronger.
Yeah, I totally agree, 100%.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, talking about it and doing it in person and actually feeling it is a whole different ballgame, but maybe I'll be in Sweden one day and I'll drive by.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the most fun job, not job, like craft. I view this as a craft. That's what I thought. That's what I learned from being on the mentorship program with StrongFit, with Julian and Richard. Like, try to treat it like a craft, like something you're trying to improve all the time.
Yeah.
Not be lazy about it, because it can be so much more. It can be so much more like than just having seen them 1 hour a week. I mean, if you can introduce as much value as possible and help them the most possible way, it could be the best hour of the week, right?
Sure.
If you do it properly and if you do it right. And that's how I... And that's also one thing that I see can feel or missing when I visit other gyms and other CrossFit boxes around the town, like the passion to help and the passion to teach and coach your members and the persons around, because they are they should have your respect, right? And you should try to do the most of your class. I mean, if you're average and try to do your best, I mean, that's the best you can do at the time, right? That's the only thing I'm that's asked of you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's something I feel I'm missing. It's missing.
I think it's on both sides, right? So I think it's a little bit on the coaches as well. Maybe not actively, but they kind of get dragged into, okay, this is the programming. The gym owner tells them, okay, this is the programming. This is the kind of hours you need to do to make your living and blah, 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 blah. So you kind of get into that, okay, this is what I do. Like, I coach 20 hours a week, 25 hours a week, and I do the same thing over and over again. And you talk about the same things and you use the same cues over and over again. And that just burns you out. It is what it is, right? But what if, like, it needs to be fun for you as well, and not fun in a sense of like I throw jokes and it's all good, but fun in the sense of it's got to be enticing for you as a coach. Like, can I make it work? There's 15 people in front of me. Can I make everybody's packs cramp in the next 10 minutes? Right? So there's a little bit of an investment in there. It's not just, okay, can I explain an exercise properly and make sure nobody dies while doing bench press, rather than, okay, here's a challenge for you, coach. Like, can you make 10 out of 15 people make their pecs cramp? And if not, okay, why is it not working? Okay, let's try this. And just that feeling of success on a coach's side, like when people start, it's weird. Like, when I hear, as you said, with the your member with the glutes felt it for the first time, like, for me, that's probably the biggest reward I can ever get. I do like numbers, and you lifted more. It's awesome, but because you made it work, like, because you made your glutes work. I didn't do it. I helped you. You found your glutes, and that's great. So that means you will find it again, and you lose it in a workout. That's totally fine. You lose it when you do 100 back squats. That's fine, but at least you know what you're losing and how to get it back. You know what I mean? And it's not that it's not that blindfolded, I'll just do the work and go up and down, and you wake up the next day and your back hurts. And the worst part is you don't know why. That's the worst part. That's what's killing your soul. If you have a car accident and you break your leg, okay, that's just bad luck. You know why you broke your leg. And I can deal with that. But if I train and somebody looks at me and I wake up the next day and my back hurts, like that I can take. Because I don't know why. I don't know why it happened. Right? And the only thing to give the back is give people like not only the perception, but the feeling of their own body back, which starts at a single muscle activation.
Yeah, I mean, because training should improve your life, right? It shouldn't be the thing that breaks you little by little every day, because then what are you training for?
And again, this is my perspective. This is my take on it. Running a boutique gym for normal people, right? If you're like a world-class powerlifting gym, you cannot avoid people breaking because it's high-level sports. I mean, you can do so much, right? And you don't want people to break. But if you're going to the world championships, it can happen that an athlete breaks, right? But for our people, for our soccer moms, for Susie from around the corner, like that's not happening. And that shouldn't be happening.
That goes back to the intention of the member and the intention of the gym mainly. I mean, what are you valuing at a gym? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Like I said, if it's a powerlifting gym, for sure, it's going to ache. It's going to hurt. It's going to suck sometimes.
Yeah.
For sure. But for, like you said, average Joes, soccer moms, they just need to move. They just need to, feel better after when they leave.
Yeah, and see some results, whether their booty is nicer or they're losing some pounds or they see their abs or the guys get big guns. Like, that's what we're all training for. I mean, let's be honest. You got to look better naked. That's why you're training. It's not like people enjoying sweating for 60 minutes. It's you want to see some results. You know what I mean? This is not a philosophy session.
No, exactly.
People want to see physical results. All right, man. I mean, we're almost an hour in, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But let me ask you a final question, because I'm just curious about those answers. Mm-hmm. Just imagine you have infinite money, you have infinite time, you have infinite resources, and you want to build your own gym. Right? So there's no restrictions. You don't have to make money. You have all the money in the world. You have all the equipment in the world. You have all the resources. You have 25,000 coaches. You have all the knowledge. How would your own dream gym look like? That's a tough one, I know.
Yeah, for sure. Damn. I mean, I really appreciate this the underground type style of gym and the strongman training and lifting heavy and grunting and all the stuff. I mean, I would try to implement a strongman approach to it, like simple movements, heavy lifting and all the equipment for that, while also implementing some bodybuilding stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not necessary to have everything, but I mean, the pump you can get from leg extensions are sick, and you don't get that pump from anywhere else. I mean, like a mix from strongman and a bodybuilding gym, I think. I'm not sure, man. These are tough questions to ask me at the end.
No worries. That's it. I mean, it's a good answer if you fancy that. We have machines at the gym too. Like we have a leg curl machine, we have a lat pull down machine, we have a horizontal lat pull down machine, we have a leg press, we have like, fuck yeah. I mean, I don't get it. Like that separation between bodybuilding is shit and powerlifting is great and CrossFit is bad or good or whatever. It's like whatever it takes, man, to make that person in front of me better. And how can you improve someone's pulling if that person's 45 years old, has never trained in her whole life, like there's no upper body strength at all, like how are you going to build that up? With negative pull-ups or rows? I mean, that's great. But, I mean, you got to do some lat pull-downs, some rope pulls, and just some easy work so people are getting stronger. And whatever it is, I don't, like, there's no dogma in here.
Exactly. And like you said, by excluding stuff, you don't get... I mean, why would you exclude anyway? I mean, you don't have to throw dirt or shit at some style of gym, or how to say, not style of gym, style of training, let's say. Try to implement what you like and do what's necessary. I mean...
Like, we're using... I mean, obviously, we're using elements that CrossFit created. 100%. Uh-huh. Like imams and AMRAPs and I mean, this is great stuff. Like this is, you got to give credit where credit is due. This is what CrossFit invented. Yes. And we just try to keep that open source methodology idea in there, which I think somewhat stopped in CrossFit at some point because they focus more on the sport aspect of it, whatever the reason was. And we'll add bodybuilding to it. Like, bodybuilding is great for warming up. Bodybuilding is great for recovery work. We have powerlifting elements. We have weightlifting elements. Like, a good barbell power clean is probably, like, I love it. Maybe we'll start with a Sempec clean, right? To teach hip extension, to do some throws, some tosses, put it in there. But, I mean, these are great exercises. Or great elements of sports. The thing is, like, people are specializing in that stuff far too early and far too much. Whether it's weightlifting or powerlifting, and they're just doing the powerlifting and just doing the weightlifting. Mm. And I don't know which, if you're following any of those sports, but I kind of following closely, like powerlifting and weightlifting, and especially Chinese weightlifting. Trust me, Alessandro, Chinese weightlifters are not just weightlifting. Like, they're doing bodybuilding exercises, they're doing lat pull downs, they're doing very deliberate work, and a shit ton of Olympic weightlifting. Right? But all of a sudden, you're in the CrossFit gym, and I did this, by the way, I did this 100%, so I'm in the same boat. So all of a sudden, you're in a CrossFit gym, and all you're doing three times a week is Olympic weightlifting and nothing else. I mean, this doesn't sound right. Okay, so I think that's just what I want to add to that whole equation. And whether you're a CrossFit gym or a Zumba gym or a powerlifting gym, I think we can add a little bit more into it so everybody thrives in their, whatever their training looks like.
Agreed. I mean, you add what you like and you add what works mainly, and then the rest you can, I mean, do what you want with it, discard it, but I don't know, try to add as much as possible that works for you.
Yeah,
and your members.
So let's stay in touch. Maybe I'll send you some stuff over, a video series of what we're doing with the fine stress use principles. And if you want to try it out in your own classes, I'll be happy to hear your feedback and to hear how it works for you.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll try one session like next week, actually. I will try this approach and let you know.
All right, man. So, Alessandro, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I think we're going to talk again, maybe on a podcast, maybe on the phone, whatever. And I promise I'll improve my Italian so we can speak Italian. It's not good. Trust me.
Va bene, perfetto.
I can survive, but nothing more.
So you do speak Italian?
I wouldn't say I speak Italian. I do understand a lot of it because I had Latin at school for 8 years. Weird school, okay. I know. And my wife's from Romania, which so I get a lot of stuff. And again, I can survive. I can order food. I can get out of a fight in Italy. That's fine. I can watch.
I mean, then you're all set. I mean, if you can order food, then you're all set.
Wait. I got the third one. I can watch soccer games and understand what the commentator is talking about. So I'm half Italian already. I have soccer, food, I can have the training ambition. Exactly. Oh. So a little side note at the end. There was on Rai Uno, I watched the 90th Minuti, you know, that famous soccer show. So so that's where my whole Italian experience started. And it was funny. So I know probably no more football words in Italian than any other. Which is great. All right, man. Thanks again. Thanks for taking the time. Let's stay in touch. And I guess we'll talk soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.